All right, let's get into it. What's up, y'all? Long Island! Huh? I had to come home. Had to come home for the taping. Had to come to my hometown. Have some fun with my friends here because, guys, I've been around the country and there's a lot going on. Let me tell you, there's some towns. Made me miss Long Island. Appleton, Wisconsin, you been? Don't. Whitest place I've ever been. I don't think they ever got the diversity memo. It was like I jumped into a bowl of milk and I was talking to marshmallows. That's how white this town was. You ever get like a new coloring book and you open it? That's it. That's Appleton, Wisconsin. And I'm getting older. You know, you notice more stuff. More stuff annoys you when you get older. You know, I'm 47 now. Yes, thank you. I made it. I mean, I know what you're thinking. That's it? Oh, my God. You look terrible. I decided. Even that, like, whistle was half-baked. I appreciate it. Nice try. I know what I... We get it. That's okay. I've seen myself in high definition. You know, it's funny, like now that I'm older, I want to start taking care of myself, you know, so I started going to the doctor. I wanted to check everything out, like a classic automobile, you know. I took her into the shop. I started upstairs. I went to the dentist, okay? So they take an x-ray of my teeth. And, yeah, multiple teeth. That's how it works in English, ma'am. I'm sorry to offend you, Miss Grammarly. We put an S on it. My teethy teeth? Toothy tooths, whatever. So I take a look at the picky pick of my teethy tooths, okay? And she says, everything's fine with the teeth, you know, but in the back here, we see a shadow. And I go, oh, what does that mean? Like 6 more weeks of winter? She goes, no, it's probably nothing. Or could be a blocked artery and you could die of a stroke at any moment. That's a big pendulum swing, friends. I go, oh my God, what do I do? She goes, don't worry, just go see your cardiologist. Look at me. Do I look like I take care of myself and have a cardiologist? So I go home and I Google search cardiologist near me, like I have some sort of weird sexual fetish. I find one. I call up. I said, hey, I had a scare at the dentist. I need to see a cardiologist ASAP. ASAP. I got no time. And she goes, oh, because of COVID and everything, it's going to be like a 2-month wait. And I go, ooh, 2 months. That's a long time. I don't normally do this, but I'm Joe Gatto. You know. She goes, great, Joe Gatto, we'll see you in 2 months. So I go to the doctor, you know, I take all the tests, whatever, and he's looking at the results, which are good, and then he's looking at my body, which isn't. And I think he thinks he had the wrong, like, folder. He's like looking at me, he's looking at me. I don't know what he was expecting to see, like in the x-ray. Was he expecting to see like a cannoli stuck in my aorta? The first case of kidney scones? I don't know. I thought he was messing with me, you know, because I've been messing with people a long time, 10 years on TV, but I've been making it awkward since 1976, okay? Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. It's the only way to live, okay? You never know when the lights are gonna get turned out on you, so you might as well have some fun, laugh, find some joy every day, and I wish that for each and every one of you in here. Yes, that's what I want. I want you to live a great, happy life. Yeah, of course, you know? But I know what you're thinking. Joe, how? That's why I'm here. This part of my show is like a TED Talk, okay? I'm gonna give you tips and tricks to live your most awkward, fun life, okay? Things anyone in this room could do that you should do, okay? We talked about the dentist. Next time you guys go to the dentist, do what I do. Keep your eyes open. There's no rule. There's not even a sign that says, please keep your eyes closed. Like, you could do what you want. When I go, I just sit there when they're about to get their work, I just go, that shit gets weird real quick. We're adults, right? We gotta pay the bills. Unfortunately, we gotta pay the bills every month. We write checks. And on the bottom left-hand corner of every check is what I like to call an opportunity. Yeah, that's right, the memo section, 4 with a blank line. And you get to tell the whole world, what has this check been written for? And if you're not writing the word sexual favors on that line, get out, get out, get out. Thank you, but go. Every check I've ever written my whole life, 4 sexual favors. I don't care what it's for. Gas bill, cable bill, water bill, grandma's birthday, charity, Girl Scout cookies. I don't care. That's their problem now. How bad you want that money? I had a roommate. He used to pay the landlord every month. I'd have to give him a check for my half of the rent due. $725 for sexual favors, okay? And he would have to go deposit it in the bank in person. It was before the apps. He'd have to wait online till they said next and be like, good afternoon. I'd like to deposit this check. I received $725 for sexual favors. He begged me to stop. He's like, Joe, stop. You got to stop, dude. You have to stop. My picture is up in every branch across Manhattan. Stop, stop. I was like, fine. So 1 month I just wrote four butt stuff. The teller would be like, that's not a bad side hustle, pal. Good work. Keep it up. Elevators, right? Little boxes of awkwardness. We travel up and down with strangers. Ah, my playground. If I'm on the inside, I stand right up against the closed doors. And when they open, I go, yay, you made it. We're going to be best friends. We're going to be best friends. We're going to... Oh, where are you going? They're taking the stairs. Flip it and reverse it, right? Missy Elliott, that shit. You're about to get on the elevator, be wrapping up a fake phone call, okay? You get on, you're like, hey, yeah, no, I'm getting on the elevator, so I might lose you, but don't worry, when I get home, it's freaky deaky time. Ooh, ooh, yeah, okay. All right, bye, Mom. Oh, 12th floor, please, 12, thank you. I like to collect other people's business cards and give them out as myself at a later date. I've been the CEO of some major corporations. Public restrooms are a good time. That's it. There's no joke. That's just an observation. If I'm in the stall, I like to leave the door unlocked. Not open. Unlocked. Just to invite a little bit of mystery and danger to the party. And I'll just sit there waiting. I've set my trap like I'm trying to catch a raccoon out by the barn. Inevitably, somebody will open the door and I'll go, oh, you made it. I could begin. But the urinals, fellas, we know the urinals are weird. We can make them weirder if we try. Three levels of awkwardness, okay? Level one, super easy, okay? Don't skip the empty urinal. Stand right next to the fella and just snuggle in while you're taking the peeps. Bonus points if you whisper the word, impressive. Level two, step up to the plate, take out your wiener, scream and start taking pictures of it. Level three, the Joe Gatto level of awkwardness, the masterclass, if you will. You're gonna step up to that urinal, just go ahead and use that bad boy backwards. That was the shake at the end. The best part of that is when you're mounted up, and using the urinal backwards, if somebody walks in, look them in the face like they're weird. And just follow them as they walk across the bathroom and be like. That guy, right? Impressive. Oh, I love messing with people. It's always so much fun. I don't even know why I'm like this, to be honest. I can't blame drugs. A little bit of backstory for you. I never tried a drug, a cigarette, or even been drunk in my life. And I know what you're thinking. How the hell did this happen? I don't know. I guess my parents were into some stuff. Trickle-down effect, skips a generation, boom, crazy-ass Joe Gatto. Hello. I've never even tried marijuana. Technically, it's a vegetable. Not for me. I did spark up a cannoli backstage, though, before I came out. Puff, puff, pastry. All right. I never got into it. It was never my thing, you know? Like, even in high school, I never ran with that type of crowd, you know? In high school, I was like this geeky white kid. I was a math lead. I was on the math team. I was a bowler. Go Strike Force. You know, I'm just this math-loving, bowling, nerdy kid. I was so, what's the word? Unfuckable. Yes, ma'am, that's it. Thank you. And it wasn't that I wasn't good at sports, okay? I was. I was coordinated and whatnot. I just couldn't understand on a conceptual level why people partook, right? Like surfing. Makes no sense to me. Go on this piece of wood. Go to where sharks live. Don't die. That's not sport. That's survival, okay? We got skiers here. Any skiers? Yeah, shut up. You're dumb. Stupid. Stupid. Put these 9.5 wood planks on your feet. Go to the top of that mountain. Fall down it for 1.5 hours. Don't break a bone. You win. That's it. And to make it more interesting, we'll make you go on this human-sized blender called a ski lift that'll just shoot your ass off the top of the mountain. It could stop. It won't. You have to try to get... I've been skiing 5 or 6 times in my life, okay? And it never fails, never fails. When I'm on the ski lift coming up, I get off to go down that little hill. 10 children out of nowhere just come out of the woods. Like 10 children. Whose children are these? I don't know these children. Coming across my path. Here's my fat ass. I come down, boom, barrel, knock them all over. God forbid I miss 1 or 2. I got to go back around. Pick up the spare because I'm a bowler. I got a 7-10 split in Aspen last year. A 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. Fuck these kids. I'm trying to win. I don't really have a body built for sport. It's built more for pastry. That's why all my dogs are named after Italian pasta dishes and desserts. That's what makes sense for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All my dogs. Gatto Pups and Friends, my rescue. I got so many dogs, you know? It wouldn't make sense if my dogs were named any other way. Like, if my dogs were named after exercise routines, it's off-brand. I can't be like, yeah, these are my dogs. Push-ups, sit-ups, treadmill. No. I got cannoli, biscotti, spumoni, tartufo, tiramisu. Yeah. Linguini, ravioli, the brother and sister fettuccine alfredo. Cupcake, broccoli, Rob. I got them all. And I got 2 kids. What the fuck are their names? But with the dogs, it's not bad, you know, because they're all old, like, senior dogs, and they're all, like, falling apart. I had this one dog, Mishkin, okay, 14 years old, 5 pounds, 0 teeth. The tongue just hung out of the mouth. One of those numbers? Blind as shit. Used to walk off everything. Chairs, stairs, beds. Whoop. It was like a stunt dog. He was the Tom Cruise of Bichon Frise. I'm outside the house, I have an underground pool. One day, here comes a machine, do-do-do-do-do, whoop, splash, into the water. And I'm thinking what we're all thinking. It'll swim. It's a dog. They have a swim named specifically for them, the doggy paddle, right? All dogs know how to swim like all chickens know how to dance. Machine hits the water, starts doing this half-assed, one-armed. Starts spinning in a circle and sinking into the abyss. Down to the bottom, I jump in fully clothed. I can't have this dog die on my watch. I'm the dog father. Pick him up, hold him high, like he's Simba from The Lion King. I'm drying him off. I'm looking in his blind little peepers. And that's when I realize what's happened here is I have foiled a suicide attempt. He's looking at me like, why, Joseph? 14 years, bro, come on, what more could you want from me? Yeah, love my dogs. They're fun. It's been fun to be able to hang out with them at the house, you know, them. Spend some time with the kids, which is always fun, too. And with the kids, I like to show them, like, stuff that I liked growing up. Like, one of my favorite things is Looney Tunes. We watched Looney Tunes together. But they hadn't seen a lot of Disney. And seen a lot of classic Disney, so I decided to show them Cinderella, you know? If you know the story of Cinderella, it's basically a hostage situation. This girl's stuck in the basement, forced to play with rodents, do chores. It's like an animated version of the movie Taken. If Liam Neeson had no skills, this is what happens to the lady. This is it. She's stuck in a basement, you know, she's got to do what she's got to do. But the prince of the land is throwing this big party, right? The prince is having this big party, he's throwing this big ball, okay? Oh, side note, my favorite Cinderella joke. What did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? Ha. Yep. Good. Tell a friend. So she hates her life, you know, but she wants to go to this party, but she doesn't have what she needs. So she wishes upon a star, and a fairy godmother comes down and gets her bibbidi-bobbidi-boo on. She's like, I got you, girlfriend. What do you need? You need a ride? Give me that pumpkin. Carriage. How are we going to move this thing? Micees? Boom. Horsies. Ooh, you look terrible. You look terrible. You can't wear that. Come here. Limited edition Disney and Gabbana gown. Complete with glass slippers. Okay, you're going to go to that party. You're going to have a good time. All right, you're going to have lots of fun, but you ain't no ho. I can't have you being a trick and thotting around the whole kingdom. You're on a curfew, bitch. You got to be home by midnight, okay? It's all over at midnight. At midnight, everything goes back to the way it was. Be back by midnight. Cinderella says, okay, goes to the ball, has a great time, right? Falls in love with the prince. The clock strikes 12. She ghosts his ass. She's gone. And the only thing she leaves behind is a single glass slipper. And that's all the prince has to identify the woman of his dreams. So he picks it up and decrees, whoever fits this glass slipper will be my queen, and I will love until the day I die. And for me, that's where the major plot hole exists. Because you're telling me in all of the land with all of these beautiful women, there's only one who wears a size 8.5? Sorry, Walt, I ain't buying it, okay? I'm watching with my 7-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son, okay? It's over, my daughter loves it. Singing, dancing, leaves the room. My son watching the end credits, arms crossed. Hey, Dad, I have a question. That's my boy. He's picked up on the same plot hole that has haunted his father for decades. I go, yeah, what's up, buddy? He goes, the glass slipper. Why didn't it just turn back into her regular shoe? My son is Elon Musk. I have a genius boy. He's genius. I never thought of that. He's 5 years old picking that up. He's got questions. So he turns to the guy that's supposed to have all the answers, his father, and I've got nothing. He starts pressing me. He's like, why, Dad? Why? I got to come up with something. So I look him dead in the face. I go, glad you asked, son. That right there, that's just some straight up Disney bullshit. He accepts that as the truth, leaves the room, and goes to play with his Legos. The next week I come home, I'm paying the babysitter. I'm like, how'd they do? She goes, good. We were going to watch Cinderella, though, and your son told me he didn't want to watch straight-up Disney bullshit. That's my boy. Raise him right. I was nervous because a couple months after that, the family, we were going to Disneyland in California, okay? And my daughter wanted to meet the princesses, so we were doing the Cinderella experience. And my son is a straight shooter. So I was afraid when we were going to walk in that palace, he was going to be like, hi, Cinderella, hi. Can I see your shoe real quick? Thanks. Excuse me, ma'am, 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 hi. You try this on? Oh, it fits? You're a lying bitch, Cindy. Let's go, Dad. We're going to go to Universal and play with Minions. They tell the truth there. Disney was great, man. Disney was great. We had a good time there. I finally got to go on that big Star Wars ride. Any other Star Wars fans up in here? I got to go on that Star Wars ride that they built. And if you don't know about it, they spent like hundreds of millions of dollars on this ride. It's basically a movie set. It's unbelievable. But it's also an immersive experience, which means everybody who works on the ride is in character. They play a character. So when the ride starts, you're in the woods with all the rebels, and they're moving you down the line. Thanks for joining the fight. You go through the woods. A big alarm sounds, and they go, the First Order's coming. We got to get you out of here. You turn the corner. There's this humongous spaceship. The doors open. You get in with these big LED monitors all around you, these 90-inch TVs. And then you take off into outer space. A battle begins. You get sucked onto the Death Star. And the next time the doors open, you're on the Death Star face to face with 100 animatronic human-sized stormtroopers with their guns pointed at you. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Are you kidding me? This is so cool. What a cool experience for me. Not for my 5-year-old son. Who's never seen a Star Wars film or been on a ride. And I think back on the day, trying to remember what was happening on the ride and recapture what was happening with my son. Because when it started, he was totally into it. He's in the woods. They're like, thanks for joining the fight. He's giving high fives. He's like, thanks, dude. He's all excited. Then the alarm sounds. I'm like, come on, buddy. We got to go. The bad guys are coming. And he goes, the bad guys are coming? And then we turn the corner and we get on a spaceship. And we go into outer space. Where an intergalactic battle begins. The whole thing's shaking. People are screaming. I look. My son is hugging the guardrail going, I want to go back to Earth! And then the doors open and he's face to face with 100 death robots with laser pistols pointed at his esophagus, and his father, all smiles. The tour guide, one of the kids that worked on the ride, recognized me, right? So he goes, Joe, listen, we'll let the group go. Then you and your family can take a cool picture in front of the stormtroopers. I was like, great. The whole ride goes. My son goes, come on, Dad, we got to go. I said, no, we're going to take a quick picture, buddy. He goes, with the bad guys? And we have a family photo lined up in front of the stormtroopers. My son, scared to death, hugging my thigh. Jeez! And then, spoiler alert, you escape. I mean, you figured it out. I'm here, right? But the way you escape is that your escape pod crash lands pretty realistically on a foreign planet, okay? And I had never been on the ride, so when it jostles, it catches me, and I go, oh, and my son sees this, and he loses his shit. He's like, ah, ah, ah! And he starts yelling, Grandpa! Grandpa! He's calling for his grandfather, who's not even in the state of California. He is 3,200 miles away in New York, but his father has failed him so miserably that the only other male role model he knows, his only plan B, the only other guy that could save the day, Grandpa. Quick stats on Grandpa for you. 75 years old, 4'11", diabetic, chronic bronchitis, needs an inhaler. Double kneecap replacement surgery, uses a walking stick. He's like Yoda. He's like a real life Yoda. I feel like he was in New York going, I feel a disturbance in the force. So I see my son losing his mind and I get like snapped back to reality. Eminem, Mom's Spaghetti. And I'm like, he's not having fun. So I grab him, I scoop him up, I'm hugging him and I'm rubbing his back. And I just tell him, don't worry, buddy, relax, it's just a ride. Information he could have used 12 minutes ago. And he's doing that thing, you know when they're so, like, they're not even crying anymore, they're just so angry, they're doing that angry breathing, beat red, right? So I'm hugging him, I'm holding him. He pushes off my chest, looks at me dead in the face, goes, this is some straight up Disney bullshit. Thank you. Therapy will be needed. And I think about people who think they've been abducted by aliens, right? And they believe in their mind that it's happened. And I just know 20 years from now, I'm going to be watching a documentary. My son's going to be on it. Table, cup of water, spotlight. And they're going to be like, sir, do you believe in aliens? And he's going to be like, do I believe in aliens? Let me tell you. Why the hell does he talk like that all of a sudden? Apparently he's moved to Alabama. I don't know. He's playing the banjo. He's like, let me tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. Me and my family were on vacation in California. I got sucked up into a space vehicle. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, take a look at this picture. Oh, parenting, man. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know. It's not all our fault. There's no handbook, right? We don't know what we're doing. And these kids, they throw anything at you at any time of night or day. 2:30 in the morning, 4 months ago, my daughter's room, I hear a dad, 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 frantically. I run in. I go, what's the matter, babe? She goes, my armpit's bleeding. I'm not a field medic in Vietnam. I don't know how to do here. I pick it up, I look, yeah, her armpit is bleeding a little blood. I'm like, what is happening? Are you possessed? What are you doing? Do we need an exorcism? I mean, the power of Christ compels you. Jesus loves you. What? The only thing I know about bleeding is you have to apply pressure. So I grab one of her stuffed animals and I throw in her armpit and I shut it down like a wine bottle opener, like. And I'm like, it's okay, baby. And she's freaking out. She's like, Dad, you got to help me. I'm like, I will. She's like, you promise? I'm like, yes. She's like, you promise? I'm like, yes. Listen, dados keep their word. She goes, okay. And she's laying there, and I'm just petting her. And I'm like, okay, my steps of knowledge are done at one. I do not know what else I need to do here. So I just Google, my daughter's bleeding. No. Uh-uh. I got a couple of years till that happens. And I'm pretty sure that's not an armpit. So she's laying there, and I'm just calming her down. I'm like, it's okay, baby. She's like, you got me. I said, I got you. I promise. Gatos keep their word. And I'm holding her, and she's like, starting to fall asleep. But in my mind, I don't know if she's falling asleep or bleeding out. And I'm like, I don't even know any resuscitation for children. Like, I don't know what to do here if, you know, something goes wrong. So I Google search child mouth to mouth. No. 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 No, Joseph. Now you know I'm on some sort of government list because Siri and Alexa, them bitches are snitching. They're talking to the federales, you know? Put her to bed. I sneak out. I go back. I go to bed. Daddy's a hero, all right? I go back to my room. Next morning, I wake up. My wife is standing over me with a cup of coffee and the Google Home going, what were you Googling last night? Stupid technology. I hate it. Hate it. Think about all the technology I have in my house. I have all these OK Googles, these little, you know, screens. You can walk up to them and they'll show you any picture you want. And I have kids in my house and that's too much power for them to wield. My son is 4 years old learning about neighborhood animals. So he walks up to the Google and he goes, OK Google, show me a picture of a chipmunk. And it shows him a chipmunk eating an acorn. OK Google, show me a picture of a bunny rabbit. And his bunny, carrot. Okay, Google, show me a picture of a possum. And Google decides in its infinite wisdom to show my son a rabid possum hanging off a lamppost. My son screams bloody murder, runs up into his bedroom. Now he's terrified of possums. His number one fear, possum, okay? At night, I'm not checking his room for monsters. I'm looking for marsupials, okay? And you know, he knows they hang from the top. He's smart. So he's like, Dad, check the top of the closet. They hang with their tails. I'm in his closet like there's none here. Stupid Google. But parenting comes down to one thing, making memories, because we're not going to be here forever, and we want to leave them with good things, things to laugh about, times we've shared, okay? We do things like apple picking. If you don't know what apple picking is, you have all the information in the title. It's a dumb activity that white people with Instagram do. We go and pick apples. Where do we do it? At the supermarket where they're already picked? No, we head into the fields. We go to orchards. Are they close? No, 3 hours away, out east. My wife finds a place, apples and honey, 3 hours away, eastern Long Island. With my schedule, it's later in the season. All the apples have already fallen from the trees. So I'm like, can I take these kids down to the Whole Foods and be like, pick up the apples, kids, go ahead. Just pick them up. You don't want apples, you want lemons? Go ahead, get some lemons. No, we go. Apples and honey. Apples made by trees, honey made by bees. Weird partnership. We walk out, open the door, there's just bees all over this orchard. And I'm like, who thought this was a good idea? I was like, all right, let's have a good day. We're gonna have some fun, okay? So we go out. I go to get a bushel. This was right after COVID, so there's like the Purell things everywhere. My son walks over to the Purell thing, pushes it, and it shoots him directly in the eyeball. Directly in the boom, ding, like it's a carnival game. Ding, 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 he wins. He screams bloody murder. My back was turned to him. I didn't see that. I think in my mind, he's being attacked by all the bees. And I just take off to defend him. I'm like, look out, son. From afar, it looks like I'm beating my child as he's screaming. We're there 37 seconds. This is how it starts. Okay, I'm like, come on, buddy, we got this. And we start walking around. And we go into the orchard, and like I thought, all the apples are on the floor. There's like three in a tree. And my daughter goes, Dad, that one. What's the matter with these? What do you, how am I, come here. All right, but dads of daughters know your little girl wants something, you do what you can. So I look up and I go, I was a boy once. I climbed trees. I probably still got it. It's probably like riding a bike. It's not. That's why the saying is like riding a bike, not like climbing a tree. Okay? So I go 4 feet up and I get like vertigo sets in. I get scared to death. I'm 4 feet off the ground and I just hug the tree. I look like a koala bear pencil holder. And my daughter's like trying to cheer me on super sweet, like, go, Dad, go. I'm like, shut up, bitch. She gets all impatient. She starts exploring and picking up all the apples that are already on the floor that she could reach, right? And then she starts screaming. I'm like, oh, the bees are here. I jump down to save her. I sprain all three ankles. I run around the back. She found her way into a thorn bush. And I'm like, that's it. We're out of here. I peel her out. I said, come on, we're done with this place. Let's go. We start picking up apples, putting them in our pockets. And we're walking back to the car, and there's a big sign. It says bakery. And my son goes, Dad, can we go in the bakery? Fuck yeah, we could go in the bakery. We're gattos. We're built for bakeries. We're bakery pickers. And we start walking over to the bakery, looking like we just like saved Private Ryan, like. Open the door, I look at the girl behind the counter, I said, give me a dozen donuts. Kids, what do you want? Then we get everything and we go outside, we collect our spoils and we hit the picnic tables outside and we're sitting there and my son is eating the donuts and he's got his little fat kid happy dance bop on. He's eating them all smiley with his one eye Willy. He's all excited. And he looks up at me and he goes, Dad, this is the best day ever. And then a bee lands right on his forehead. So I go, ain't it, pal? I smack the bee off his head. And now my son equates every time he says something nice to me, I will beat him in the face. So he hasn't said anything nice in 2 years. Thank you. Apples and honey. Yeah, I mean, we do what you can. You know, you set the ground rules. You try to teach him to be good. You try to teach him to leave a good life. You teach him the rules, right? Can't say any bad words. You guys know that. Can't say them. F, B, A, you know. But in my house, we don't even say mean words. We don't say hate. We don't say shut up, okay? And we spend time together and have fun and laugh. And we try to do that as much as we can. Every morning, I drive my kids to school. And in Daddy's car, we have Daddy's playlist, songs that we all love, songs that I love growing up, or songs from now that I think are fun. And we listen on the way to school every morning. One of my favorite songs, Shut Up and Dance With Me by Walk the Moon. Yes. One of my favorites, right? So we're driving to school, and I see my son in the back seat, and he's going, mm-mm, and dance with me. Super cute. I go, you know what, buddy? If it's in a song, you could say it. He rolls down the window, hangs out, and he's like, shut up and dance with me. I'm like, this kid's got anger issues. I need to talk. And my neighborhood's nice. It's a nice neighborhood, nice school. At school drop-off, all the kids, when they get dropped off, all the teachers are waiting outside to greet them. The principal's there. Everybody's there. Let's have a good day. We're going to do it. All that bullshit, you know? So they're all there hanging out. And we roll up, and we're rolling up to the school, and another song comes on the playlist. One of my other favorites, Forget You by CeeLo Green. Oh, yeah, you're with me. Daddy accidentally put the explicit version, Fuck You by CeeLo Green, on there. And by the time I realized, I go to change it, and my son goes, if it's in a song, we could say it. And my daughter chimes in and goes, gattos keep their word. They got me on a technicality. We roll up to the school, my two kids are like, fuck you, ooh. I got an email from the principal, conference requested. Think about all the songs you know, though, right? We know millions of words to all these songs, and half the time, we don't even have the lyrics right. For a long time, that song, Old Town Road, I thought Lil Nas X was bringing a horse to a hotel room. I'm gonna take this horse to the hotel room. I'm gonna ride. What the fuck you doing with this horse, pal? And what hotel chain are you going at that the lean is so lenient with their pet policy they allow thoroughbred? I have a problem bringing my schnauzer sometimes. But I grew up in the 90s, love 90s music, love boy bands, love a good sing-along, love a good sing-along, yeah. One of my favorites, Backstreet Boys, Everybody, right? You know it. Everybody. Yeah. Rock your body. Yeah. Right? I know it. We all love it, right? I'm in the office, which is next to my kid's playroom. I'm doing some work. I hear my son and my daughter singing back and forth to each other. My daughter's like, am I sexual? And my son's like, yeah. You know who listens to that song now? Nobody. Nobody in my house. Yeah. The best part about being a parent, though, is you see your kids grow up to be little versions of you, right? They try to be like you, which is so fun. I see my son. He tries to control all the dogs in the house. you know, but he's like this big and there's 400 of them, so it doesn't work out. But people are like, a house has to be crazy with that many dogs. It's not. It's a pack mentality. They follow the house rules. Like if I open the front door to my home, the dogs know not to run out. They all just look out the open door like it's a Hallmark card. I was just sitting there, you know? They have to learn that, of course, you know? I had this one dog, a 55-pound rescue from the Bahamas. Her name is Strufala. She's this big, fat, cuddly, lovable. It's okay, guys. She calls me the same things. It's the first day I have her. I don't even have her like 12 hours, okay? I go to get a package. I don't even have shoes on. She sees the door open and goes, oh, the Bahamas must be this way. Gone. Gone. So I take off after. I start running after her. I'm like a fat kid chasing the ice cream truck. Like, Strufala! Strufala! I lost a sock. I stepped on a rock. My foot's bleeding. I'm so pissed off. I'm so mad. I'm fat and furious chasing the dog down the street. And it has such a lead on me. It keeps looking back to see if I'm still with it. It runs into my neighbor's backyard who I have never met, okay? And it takes me a full minute to catch up. That's the lead this dog has on me. And I show up looking like a lunatic from the mental institution. Freshly escaped. Panting, sweating, hair's crazy, eyes bulging, bleeding. I walk to the back and a guy is there. I'm holding the dog by the collar and he is like a man. Like the opposite of what you see before you. 6'4", exotic looking fella, long hair, sun-kissed skin, biceps, triceps, all the seps, every seps. Abs for days, glutes for weeks. So he's holding the dog by the collar and he's like, that's his hair in the wind. Oh, hello. Is this your dog, perchance? What the fuck else do you think I'm doing here, pal? You think I'm trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner, talk to you about Jesus? No, I'm here to answer the age-old question, who let the dogs out? I. The door opens, his perfect 10 of a wife, Princess Jasmine, if you will, comes out being like, who is this fat stranger? Bleeding all over my patio. Followed by their twin 10-year-old boys, two perfect little gentlemen, two little supermodels. I don't know their names. I call them Ralph and Loren. Ralph don't know me. Loren does. I see it in his face. He's smiling, looking around for hidden cameras. I'm like, dude, nothing is up. I'm just trying to practically breathe. Okay? So I'm like, yeah, it's my dog. And I go to take Strufala by the collar, and she won't come. She's like, nope, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and rescue myself. And live here with this fine family, if that's okay with everybody. Look at them, look at her, look at you. This place is nice, your place is a shit show. I pull her, she won't come. I have to pick up this fat 55-pound dog. I'm mid-cardiac arrest, leaving a bloody slime trail of my DNA like it's Law & Order SVU. I just want to get home for like a cannoli and a tourniquet. And as I'm walking down the long driveway, okay? You know the feeling you get when you feel somebody's looking at you? I feel that. And I look back towards the house and hanging out the second story window is little Loren. And he's like, Joe! Yeah, man! Little son of a gun knew who I was. Happens to me sometimes, you know. People don't know where they know me from. I just look familiar. I'm at a Jimmy John's in the city, right? And I'm waiting to get a sandwich. A girl walks by outside, sees me through the window, comes in and is like, Joe, I'm a huge fan. Can I take a quick selfie? Absolutely, take a selfie. The girl behind the counter sees this, okay? Goes in the back, comes out a minute later. I step up to place my order and she's like, hi. Oh, sorry, I'm just freaking out a little bit because I'm a huge fan. Huge fan, Mr. Carell. Now, I know I look like Steve Carell a little bit, but I don't sound like him, but I love to mess with people. So I just go. She goes, the staff is going bonkers. Do you mind taking a quick picture? She pulls me behind the counter. I get descended upon by 12 Jimmy John's employees, just giving me all the praise and accolades of my illustrious career as Steve Carell. You're the funniest. Oh, my God. The Office is the best show ever. I love Despicable Me. And I'm just sitting there keeping it up the charade like... We take the photo, I grab all the food, and I leave. I steal everything. That's Steve Carell's problem now. That ain't on me. Later that day on Twitter, they post, at Steve Carell loves our sandwiches, and it's the picture of me with everybody. Sometimes I think people recognize me, and they don't, and that shit gets weird. I'm in the Birmingham, Alabama Mall, okay? Yeah. Like, think about the nicest mall you know, okay? With the shops, the food court, all that nice stuff. The nicest mall you know. Take it. Put it in Stranger Things and the Upside Down. That's where I was. It was the jankiest, weirdest mall ever. They weren't even real stores. They had knockoff stores. Feet Lockers. Forever 42. Abercrombie and Bitch. Not you. I'm sorry. Why'd we lock eyes? My apologies. Thank you for coming. Be kind. Love you. I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to do any shopping here. The stores are terrible. But the place was filled with fans, and I love my fans. So I'm like, let's have some fun here. I start grabbing the cameras, taking selfies, giving high fives, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing the damn thing. As I'm walking around, I see these three mid-teen boys leaning on the rail and looking at me. And I'm all caught up in the moment, having fun. But for some reason, I go, what's up, fuckface? Why? That's not even a thing, okay? That's the first time and last time I've ever said that sentence. And I thought in my mind, here's a good idea. Let me just verbally abuse this boy and shoot him in the mouth as much as I can. As hundreds of fans are taking pictures and videos and uploading them to the internet, I'll verbally abuse this child and shoot him. Gangster style, by the way. I turned it on his ass. I even reloaded at one point. I was so into it. I'm like, I'm out. The kid pops up off the rail and he goes, what'd you say to me? I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm famous. That's my defense to this boy. He goes, I don't know you, man. I go, okay, look. You didn't know a world famous, international, basic cable celebrity. I called a teen boy, fuckface. We're both wrong here, pal, but I apologize. I'm sorry. And I shake his hand, and he walks away. Ish. Yeah, that's right. Him and his teen gang, the three of them. I see him out of my peripherals, following me, clocking me, trying to run game these kids. You can't do that. Can't run game on me. I know how you kids think. I'm on TikTok. Oh, she the devil. You fucking... So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do here? I can't fight these children. I'll lose, first of all. And the main one was dressed head to toe in camouflage, okay? I look like an extra from The Sopranos. So I was like, all right, I know what I'll do. I'll hide. So I run into Bonanza Republic. And they have up front, they have their Dockers, their pants, you know, their fake Dockers, Fockers. They have their Fockers. Buy one, get 17 free, you know, the Fockers. So I'm sitting there looking at the Fockers. And a kid walks in and he goes, just messing with you, Joe. Huge fan. So I punched him right in the face. I said, check yourself, bitch. I'm Steve Carell. Yeah. It's fun to be me. It's fun to mess with strangers. It's so much fun. I have so much fun messing with strangers, but I love messing with my friends. And I have this one friend who's great to mess with. His name's Sal Volcano. Oh, the best. Best in the world. I love him. He's my brother. He's the best. He's very easy to mess with, though. He's the perfect mix of neurotic and gullible. It just works for me. I could probably stand up here for about 9.5 hours and tell you stories how I basically ruined this man's life. I'll tell you one of my favorites. This happened in Cincinnati, Ohio, okay? This is about 9 years ago, and we had just started touring, okay? And we're playing this little comedy club that's being run by a gentleman who is, like, clearly on the lam from the mafia. Little Italian dude, slick back hair, okay? They had to add a late show. So he calls us into his back office. He goes, boys, we got some time to kill here. What do you fellas want to do? What's up here? Well, you guys want some massages? From you? He goes, no, Joe, what are you, crazy? No, don't be ridiculous, no. I got some people, I call them, they come to your hotel room and they'll rub you, yeah. Sure. Sal goes, oh, no, no, thank you. I don't know where these people's hands have been. think is happening at these massages? Sal, they're not jamming their fingers in your mouth. Unless you pay extra, right, my man? Yeah, he knows. All right, Sal, don't worry. I'll go first, and I will text you my Yelp review and let you know how it is. He says, okay, all right? So I'm going to my hotel room, and the woman who shows up is exactly the woman you are picturing when I say someone who will come to your hotel room to rub you. The woman walks in with the table, right? Not a massage table. No, it's a straight-up, six-foot, white, fold-in-half Costco number, you know? Like the kids' table at Christmas, right? She opens the legs, pops them, and locks them. Goes into a bag to take out. She doesn't have the face cradle, you know, the little toilet bowl seat for your face. She has a travel neck pillow that says American Airlines on it. She puts it on the table and has the nerve to go, okay, sir, I think we are ready. Please make yourself comfortable. I'm looking at this flat surface and my capital D-shaped body. And I land and I start teeter-tottering, seesawing on it like the scales of justice. She hits play on the iPod. It starts playing some weird-ass low carnival music. Like straight up, like that. And then she covers me in a linen tablecloth. Like we're going on a picnic. I'm sitting there looking at the pieces of this puzzle and trying to solve the mystery like I'm Dora the Explorer. And I was like, you know what? This woman was probably at like a kid's birthday party with the table and everything, right? Her cell phone rang. It was the shady guy from the comedy club. And he was like, Bianca, you got to do me a favor. How good are you at rubbing people? Good. Get over to La Kimpton. Rub these guys to the best of your abilities. And she packed up. She was like, sure, back, pack, back, pack. And she went over. There I am, Kimpton, Cincinnati, room 612, getting rubbed by a stranger. The iPod dies dead. Now it's dead quiet in the room, okay? And this is odd even for me, and y'all know I've seen some shit. A couple minutes go by, she starts doing this. And that's when I realize what she's trying to do is cover up the sound of the farts coming out her butthole, y'all. Yeah, yeah. The iPod's dead, but the ass pod is on shuffle, and it's playing all the bangers of the 80s, 90s, and today. But the problem is her volume and frequency are completely off, so I'm just getting crop dust in a cacophony of fart sounds and throat clearings. I paid extra. This goes on for 42 minutes, okay? It was a good deep tissue. I held my breath and wrote it out. The little egg timer goes off, ding! She leans in, she goes, okay, sir, that means we are finished. How did you like your massage? And I pop up at the little travel pillow. Fantastic, I say. And then I rip the loudest fart I can. And then go, to let her know, we're playing chess, not checkers, lady, okay? You don't mess with me, I'm the professional. I jump up off the table. She starts cleaning up. I grab my cell phone, text my boy Sal. Sal, best massage ever, buddy. 5 stars. Jesus Christ hands emojis. And then I go back to the little comedy club and I go in the green room and I wait for my boy Sal to show up. And oh, does he show up, friends. He kicks that door open like he's a SWAT team leader. He's like, you never believe what the fuck just happened to me over at the hotel. Go ahead, guess. I don't want to let him know that I know the deal. So I'm straight up poker face, Lady Gaga. Pray tell, what happened, friend? And he goes, well, the 45-minute massage turned into a 25-minute massage because halfway through she had to stop and she took a shit in my bathroom. I say nothing for 4 years. 1,362 days later, we're back in Cincinnati. We're playing the theater there. We drive by the little comedy club. Sal goes, hey, that was the place with the shit masseuse. We all share a giggle. And I go, oh yeah, the one that fought it. He goes, what? I go, what? What? He goes, what do you know, Joseph? I'm pinched. I got to come clean. I go, oh, buddy. She was farting on me for 45. He goes, oh, you gave her 5 stars. They were 5-star farts, pal. I thought he was going to fight me. That's how mad he was. I'm not a fighter, though. Thank goodness he didn't. I mean, look at me. I'm shaped more like a heavy bag. I've only been in one fight in my life, and I lost. I was 12 years old, and I got my nose broke by the teen ruffian Billy Bland in my neighborhood. I know what you're thinking. Must have been a strong kid to break this honker. My mother, God rest her soul, 5'0", bad shit, crazy Sicilian, Italian woman who loved her baby boy more than anything on earth, right? I come home, my nose is bleeding. She opens the door and goes, who? Billy Bland. Pulls me in the house, picks up the house phone to call Mary Bland, Billy's mother, and goes, get your piece of shit, son, and get down here now. Like, leaving Mary Bland with a couple of queries. Who just called? Mom never introduced herself. Could have literally been anyone on the planet with a landline, okay? Also, Mary has 2 sons. Raise your hand if you're a piece of shit. She figures it out, comes down to the house. We're in the kitchen. My mother's going off on Billy. She's like, how could you? You're supposed to be friends. You're an animal. No worse, you're garbage, you're trash. I'm sitting there with a bag of frozen peas on my face like, get a mummy. I'm winning this fight now, bitch, what up? But Billy don't have to listen to this, you know, it's not his mother. So he just goes, oh, shut up. Not a good move, Billy Blizzan. Because what you just did was pull the pin out of Mom's crazy grenade. She grabs him by the shirt, pulls him over to the stove, lights the fire, holds his face to the open flame, and yells, I'll burn your fucking eyes out! Mary Bland's trying to protect her young. She's like, okay, calm down, take a breath. My mom goes, take a breath, you're next, bitch. They moved. Been very fortunate that I'm able to go around and bring some laughter and joy to people, especially when we need it the most. So I'm up here to remind you guys, sometimes life sucks, suck harder. That's it. Hang in there, guys. It does get better. And I want to appreciate that and let you guys know if you need some laughter tonight, I hope that I was able to give that to you. And I want to remind you, you got this. Stay strong. Be kind. We got this, y'all. Try to find a reason to laugh every time. And these opportunities present themselves in the weirdest ways. You just have to make the most of each opportunity. Like, let's say you get a text message from someone who thought you were somebody else. And you decide to engage. This happened to me not too long ago when somebody texted me who thought I was somebody else and I thought I would reply. And I'd love to take you guys through a quick text conversation I had with this stranger. Okay, a text message comes in from a number I don't know, and it simply says, is it okay if I wear khakis tomorrow? Khakis, America's pant. Seems like a yes or no question. Wrong. When you're messing with people, the devil's in the details. You need to speak with confidence about misinformation. So I reply, jeans will be fine as long as they're not low rise. And they say, you sure? Nobody wears them in the office, but hey, you are the boss. That's me in the scenario. I'm the boss. I said, you got it. Where are you parking? They said, where I normally do, up by the university. Now, I need to know where I work. So I say, out of curiosity, what do you call the university? They say, BU. What else would I call it? I write back, some people call it Boston University, and that really annoys me. Ha ha. To which they reply, me too, LOL. Boom, we're in Boston. Welcome to Boston, everyone. Grab a jacket, it might be chilly. I don't know, I'm not there. But I'm the boss. So I should start doing some boss shit. So I say, any way you could get in about a half hour early tomorrow? Oh, don't owe. This is a grown adult texting the wrong number. Chickadee, check your digits before you wreck yourself. They say, sure, no problem. So I open Google Maps and I search for bakeries near Boston University. And I say, great, do me a solid. Go to Brugger's Bagels and grab 24 for the team. Keep the receipt. I'll reimburse you. Will do. I love that place. But I'm having fun. So much fun. But conversation's over. Period. The end. But I want back in. I want to restart this train. So I got to say something, right? I got to say anything. Take a shot in the dark, throw a Hail Mary, if you will. So I just say, how's your dog? To which they respond, much better, thanks for asking. Bingo was his name, oh y'all. He's super attached to me now though, after the surgery, to which I reply, oh, that's super sweet. Why don't you bring him to the office tomorrow? I'd love to see him. Are you sure? That would be so great. Absolutely. See you in the AM. And now we wait. Think about what has happened here, friends. Think about the multiverse of madness I just created in Boston, Massachusetts. There was someone who is now waking up one half hour early, picking out their finest denim, going to pick up 24 uninvited bagels that they're gonna be out of pocket on. They ain't getting that shit all back. Then they're gonna walk into their place of employment with 24 baked goods under one arm and a chihuahua in a full body cast named Chico de Gallo. I'm here. I did that. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. You kidding me? I'm so excited. I got Christmas morning syndrome. You know it. You're trying to fall asleep. You're laying there looking at the lights. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rock. What happens? All dumb thoughts fly into your mind. All stupid thoughts flood your mind. You can't sleep. They wake you up, right? I'm laying there trying to sleep. How is it that vampires' hair always looks so good if they can't see their own reflection? Why don't we call them mouth jobs? And if we did, we should rename the nose job because that doesn't track. I've never seen a baby pigeon. And neither have any of you fuckers. Let's talk about that for a minute. Why? How? Has anyone seen a pigeon this big? Never. Why? Are they being born full size, popping out a large size to eggs like giraffe? Like, I don't know. How surprised was the first guy who ever threw a boomerang? Crikey! Speaking of surprises, how surprised was the first woman who ever gave birth to a child? Unga Bajunga is sitting in her cave. Miss Bajunga is wondering why she gained so much pounds over the past 9 months. Maybe too much brontosaurus beef? The sun rises, she hits the fields to get her gather on and gets a weird rumble in her tum-tum.
Ooh. Girl.
She squats down to push out what she thinks is a stubborn turd. A human baby has fallen out of her. It's screaming, she's bleeding. She goes to run away. It's attached to her, by the way. So what the fuck is she gonna do? 9:02 a.m. New text message comes in. Simply says, "Who the fuck is this?" I've been Joe Gatto, y'all. Thank you so much.